Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Good day. Welcome. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are glad to have you. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Budweiser, Bud Light. Bud Light, by the way, big supporter of our friends down at Stenny's, and we were talking about Stenny's Pub and Grill a little earlier. Named Milwaukee's best sports bar, seventh year in a row, coming out today and on Milwaukee.com. That just made public a little while ago. Congratulations to them. We do a lot of great things with a lot of great pubs. I mean, I love Cornet and the whole staff down at Coach's Pub and Grill, and Joe Hennis and everybody out at Sloppy Joe's, and I was just talking about Jill Golshinsky and everybody over at Brewtown Eatery and Pub, and we do a lot of great things with a lot of great people, but Stenny's has been there a long, long time, and congratulations to Jerry and Ryan, Laura Jean, everybody down there, as they were, again, voted Milwaukee's best sports bar. Speaking of sports bars as well, again, that's all brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Speaking of sports bars, I'm sure that they're packed today. The NCAA tournament underway. Right now, you got Minnesota and Louisville at the half. Minnesota up by 5, 38-33. In the meantime, you got LSU taking on Yale with a 26-27 now 19 lead with 9:14 left to go in the first half of that ball game. Now we start talking some Major League Baseball. As our National Baseball Insider Seth Everett joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. How you doing, my friend?
What's going on? Can I give you a statistic that sports bars are not going to like?
What's that?
Before we get into baseball?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was literally just reading this before you called. So I work on the Seton Hall Sports Poll. It's the only nationwide sports poll. Nearly 38% of all Americans said they would be watching at least part of the coverage online.
Oh, I believe number. It. I believe it, yeah.
That's a high number. And the only takeaway from that is it used to be that offices would cut out early to watch the afternoons at sports bars, and now they're staying in their offices because they have the online component.
Yep. No, I completely agree. Online is hurt the business in a sense. There's something, though, to be said for being down there with a bunch of friends and a beer and
things. I don't deny that. It's the same thing with the movie theater, though.
Right.
But you know what I mean? It's the same concept, but community is not enough when it's so easy to access the games.
And right.
Like I said, I know that's not why you had me on. I literally.
No, I agree with you, though.
As I heard your point, I said, ooh, I should bring that up.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. Online viewing in many different aspects has hurt the bar industry, specifically baseball, football. I mean, you can watch it anywhere, any place, anytime. It used to be it was an event. You gathered your friends. Everybody headed out. If you didn't go to the game, you were heading out to a bar or a pub or a place to go, or maybe even a house, and you were watching the game. Now, we become a little bit lazier society, and it's easier just to punch it up on your phone. Although I will say this, the bars, they tend to have all the games on, but if there's a game that you don't have on that you're watching down with the friends at the bar, how many times have you gone to a sports bar and it seems like everybody's sitting at the table watching their phone?
Well, it's part of it, and I think that one of the things that has changed ever since Turner got involved with CBS is you have now the choice. Where you used to, when we were growing up, we didn't have a choice. You watched whatever CBS was showing you. And so if you were not in a, let's say, for example, you know, Marquette's not playing, let's just say hypothetical, then you have to choose between the four other games. But I think these 2 days, because of the online gambling, because of just this is such a gambling favorable sport, there is proven evidence that it is not about the hometown team. Look, I'm a Syracuse fan. I will have seen 15 other games before my alma mater takes the court.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No,
What other sporting event does that? Like, even in the baseball playoffs, you know, when the Brewers were in the playoffs, the Brewers were center stage. Is there any Wisconsin college basketball team that is center stage today? Not really.
Right. Hey, I do want to talk some baseball, and give me your thoughts real quick, because I thought it was a neat and touching thing. I didn't get a chance to see it live, but obviously Ichiro retiring in the Tokyo Dome today. What a special thing for baseball to be able to allow that there.
Well, yes, but I could argue that if those had been exhibition games, they would have sold the same amount of tickets.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You know, I would have done it earlier in March and had them be exhibition games. And I understood why they did what they did, but those games were on at 2:30 at night in Pacific time. And I think that's a great disservice to the folks in Seattle and Oakland. It is baseball and opening with a whimper. And you think about other sports and how they celebrate the opening game. Look at what the NFL has made. They hire musical acts to perform at halftime of the opening game. The opening game has become a jewel event. Where in baseball, opening day is supposed to be so special, and to me it's an afterthought because of what? Because of one guy? And I love Ichiro. Don't get me wrong. I covered Ichiro. I can't say I'm friends with him, but I have a relationship with him. He's a special player, and he's an amazing player. I used to say it would look like he was hitting with a tennis racket, but I just thought it was more I think it did more harm than good to have those games in Tokyo. And to have him play for two games in games that count, I question it.
Do you, I was going to say, do you like the fact that they just played those two games there just so he could kind of say goodbye and do it that way? And so obviously not, but don't the Mariners have a say in that?
Of course they do. I mean, look, this was all, there was no guarantee when they agreed to have these games there, there was no guarantee that Ichiro was going to be still playing. You know, first of all, Ichiro had to be told he wasn't going to make the team. He wanted to play this entire year. He didn't want to do it this way. What they agreed was that he went to camp with the sole purpose of trying to be the fifth outfielder on that team.
Mm-hmm.
And his skills eroded. He's 45.
He's 45,
I'm not slighting the guy. But once he found out he wasn't making the team, that's when they started to concoct this. And, you know, knowing that it could be the Tokyo Dome, the Mariners had to place him on the big league roster, on the big league 25-man roster, and then just so he could retire. Well, okay.
Does Ichiro go to the Hall of Fame?
Oh, my God, yes.
I thought so.
Oh, my God, yes. I would waive the 5 years for him. I mean, he's such a special player. He could do everything.
Mm-hmm.
He had a rocket for an arm. He was an amazing. He had so much range that he could play right and center. And like I said, anywhere he wanted to place the ball, he could. He hit to all fields. And if he wanted to be a home run hitter, he could have been. And he didn't want to sacrifice at bats for the thrill of the home run.
That was going to be my next question, because he was a guy that could put the ball everywhere. And that what Ichiro is, what you're seeing, and to me, when I was watching the highlights of him retiring, I was saying to myself, we're watching the end of the last of the guys that can do it. And by that, I mean, because he's not the launch angle, power, grip it, rip it, you know, chicks dig the long ball guy who could have been. He was a guy that said, I can put the ball all over, and getting guys on base is just as important. And he was kind of like the last of the Tony Gwynn or Pete Rose guys that we'd watched growing up. Those guys are a dying breed, and now you're watching Ichiro retire, and that's it. I don't think there's another guy like that really in baseball that's not succumbing to the analytics.
No, and certainly not in Japan. You know, Japan has been known for pitchers. It has not been known for position players. So he is a pioneer, but he's also probably the best ever. A lot of people compare him to Sadaharu Oh, but Sadaharu Oh was a different player. He was a home run hitter. And Ichiro could literally do everything. I mean, the guy was a masterful athlete. And you want a good – you want? I can tell you one Ichiro story, and then if you call me off the air, I can tell you a better one.
Tell me an Ichiro story. Go ahead.
When Ichiro had his press conference, that was the last thing I did with the Seattle Mariners before moving to work for MLB in 2001. And so that was the last last, you know how you give like 3 weeks or 2 weeks notice. This is the last assignment that I had was his arrival, and it was broadcast in like four countries. It was such a, it was more attended than a playoff game. It was crazy. And someone asked him the question. They said, "Does having Kaz Suzuki on the team help you want to join the Seattle Mariners?" Remember Kaz Suzuki, the relief pitcher,
right?
And through a translator who spoke broken English, and I'm not going to do a Japanese accent, but I will give you it word for word. He said, good thing and bad thing. Good thing, have someone to talk to about Major League, but bad thing, because Mr. Sasaki likes to drink, and me want clause in contract, no have to go out with him after game. And this whole, I mean, you're talking hundreds of people that he did this in front of, and he's grinning. And all I said to the people that I was leaving, you know, the people with the Mariners that I was leaving the next day, and all I said was, he is going to be a rock star. We did not know how great a player he would be, but he's a rock star. Because somebody who could be that cool as a cucumber and be personable in this day and age with media the way it is, he's such a rare breed. He's a fascinating, fascinating guy. I hope they do movies about him. I hope they write books about him. I will read everyone.
Talking with Seth Everett, our National Baseball Insider. You and I have not spoken since Mike Trout got paid. We kept saying, what is Mike Trout going to be worth now that all this is all the dust is settled? And now we found out.
Yeah.
Did you expect that quickly?
After Arenado, I did. People think it has to do with Bryce Harper. It doesn't. This is solely something based on Nolan Arenado. There has been a reaction, and I've talked about this all week, to the fact that the labor stuff is happening already, that the fact that now the league wants to talk to the union, the fact that the union set up a strike fund, and they're talking about potentially challenging guaranteed money. They're talking about challenging term limits, meaning you can't sign guys for longer than 2 or 3 year deals. There could be all kinds of things on the table. And from what I am able to ascertain is that long-term contracts can get grandfathered in. So once Nolan Arenado, who openly knew that the New York Yankees did not pursue Manny Machado because they wanted Nolan Arenado, once he knew, and he still signed with the Colorado Rockies, again, and no slight to the Rockies, he loves it there, but as a slight to the Rockies, for him to do that, I said Trout's going to sign with the Angels. And I didn't know it was going to be 12 years. I didn't know it was going to be 430. And if you want to match, you know, there's something of a war and dollar figure compared to war. They said he's worth $79 million a year. And, you know, he's just signing for, what, 36? I mean, it's a bargain. The fact of the matter is that once this labor situation becomes a reality, it's why what Mookie Betts said is so alarming. Because Mookie Betts is a free agent in 2020, and he doesn't know what the playing field's going to be like.
Right. Yeah, that's and I had heard the same thing, that this wasn't necessarily a signing out of the goodness of their heart when it came to the
nope.
Angels. This was a signing out of almost necessity.
I said, if you're the Brewers, you sign Christian Yelich tomorrow. And if you're the Mets, you sign Jacob deGrom today. Like, get these guys, get your star signed.
Yeah.
And every team's going to have a star, because I think they're going to attack the very fabric of free agency, and Christian Yelich doesn't need that.
Yep.
Because he's going to be older than, for example, what Mike Trout is now, or you know, he's not an old man by any stretch. But if he can get an extension for Christian with Milwaukee, he likes it there. Sign him.
Yep.
And I would imagine those conversations are happening right now.
I would completely agree with you, Seth. It's always a pleasure, buddy. Enjoy the tournament. Enjoy whatever it is you're going to watch the tournament on. And we'll talk again next week, buddy. Okay.
Charge up the iPad. Let's
go. All right, pal. Talk to you later. There you go. Seth Everett, our National Baseball Insider, joining us for a couple of minutes. And he's got a terrific point, in case you haven't heard that already. That is true, that there's a lot of talk right now about labor disruption and some of the things that are being attacked via Major League Baseball and the Players Association and both sides. I want to dig in staunchly. 855-830-8640. Join us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com. Also, Craig Counsell has announced his starting rotation. We're going to have that when we come back. More of the Bill Michael Show up next.
border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad to have you. A couple of things that broke during our discussion with Seth Evan, our National Baseball Insider, regarding the Milwaukee Brewers. We'll get to momentarily. This portion of the program brought to you by our good friends at Neumel Medical, treating guys with ED all over the state, beyond the borders, erectile dysfunction. If it's a bothersome thing, they have a 98% success rating. 98% success at treating guys with erectile dysfunction. So make sure you call them. Call the medical experts over at Neumel Medical Center, 414-455-4451. Hey, if you're sluggish, if you're moody, you're tired all the time, you have lack of energy, no stamina, it could be low T. If you're over the age of 30, all you got to do is call them and get your numbers checked, too. And if your numbers are low, they can help you out. It can be life-changing. It really can. Also, hey, if you're looking down and you're thinking to yourself, where do my feet go? You can't see your feet. You may want to try the all-in-one weight loss program. And that also is very successful, and it does work. And all you got to do is just kind of turn yourself over to them for 30 days, and you're going to jumpstart a whole new you. Just call them, 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451. Okay, Chase Anderson's going to start the season in the Brewers bullpen. Chacin is going to be your opening day starter. Zach Davies gets the fifth game in Cincinnati. Burns, Peralta, and Woodruff get the other three starting slots in an order TBD. But your five starters are Chacin, Davies, Corbin Burns, Peralta, Woodruff. That are your starters. Chase Anderson now goes to the pen, and he did not have a good spring training, so I can only imagine he's going to come in and situations in which it isn't dire or it's going to be long term. And now the other news of the day, and this is not good, but that Corey Knebel is going to have his elbow examined today by Dr. Rosh. There's a reason for concern, and he is not feeling well.
That's what Craig Counsell said. He says there is a concern.
There is
this.
A reason for concern in the elbow of one Corey Knebel. Thus, the reason the talks have heated up, and now we wait and see.
Do what you got to do to get Kimbrel.
Kimbrel has to now be in the rotation, and you're probably going to see them go hard after him in the next 24 to 48 hours. But Corey Knebel, an elbow issue, being looked at by Dr. Rosh, and Craig Counsell's quote is, there's reason for concern.
Oh, man.
855-830-8648.
You think about the other options that the Brewers have if Corey Knebel and Jeremy Jeffress are unable to start the year. I mean, Jeffress, they're already saying, is going to be on the injury list once opening day starts. But if you don't have Knebel and Jeffress, and you have to rely on guys like Jacob Barnes, Junior Guerra, Matt freaking Albers.
Yeah.
There's a problem. Yeah. There is a big problem. Hader's your ninth inning guy right now without Kimbrel. So, we saw it yesterday. We saw the reports from John Heyman that Kimbrel and the Brewers were in serious discussion about signing him. The question is, do the Brewers just want a one-year deal with Kimbrel? Or does Kimbrel, is he and his agent holding strong with a multi-year contract? Because that's what he wants. And that's what teams don't want to give him.
Right.
And Kimbrel's going to want a lot of money. I mean, this is a guy that is probably going to get paid probably $15 million per at the minimum. I mean, he is one of the top closers in baseball. He's been one of the top closers in baseball now for a long time. He wants to get paid. But how far are the Brewers willing to go, and how much money does Mark Adonisio really want to shovel out here?
Yep. If you are just tuning in again, we're finding out that Zach Davies told that he's going to be throwing the first game in Cincinnati, which is number 5 in the Brewers' rotation. Obviously, Chacin is going to be your starter. You've got Chase Anderson going to the bullpen, and then it leaked out today that Corey Knebel will have his elbow examined by Dr. Rosh, and, quote, there's reason for concern, end quote, coming from Craig Counsell. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. One of the things the Brewers were so successful with last year was that they did not have mass injuries. You're already starting out with Jeremy Jeffress on the 10-day DL. You did hear Ryan Braun just a little while ago say that Jimmy Nelson is, he felt if he had to pitch, he could. And Jimmy Nelson has come back nicely, but they're taking it easy. In the meantime, you've got Corey Knebel with an elbow injury, and you hope that word is just that maybe inflammation or something like that. It's nothing serious, but there is reason for concern coming from Craig Counsell. And now you kind of go from there. So Kimbrel is a guy that many people are wanting. I'm seeing Twitter just blow up saying you got to get him here. And David Stearns, for the last 3 years in a row, has gone out and acquired a reliever at the end of training or at the end of spring training. So now we'll wait and see.
But it hasn't been.
No, it hasn't been a big name like this. But this is probably, to me, it's probably going to be more than likely that they're going to make it another year in a row in which they go out and acquire a reliever.
But the thing is, with Kimbrel and his agent now, they can kind of sit back because the Brewers are kind of freaking out. If Kimbrel was their guy and they're trying to get him, now all of a sudden his agent can come back at David Stearns and say, well, you know what, we're going to up our price a little bit. You want Craig Kimbrel so bad, well, pay him what he wants or pay him this amount of money per year.
Well, here's
this
the
is
question. What,
this is, I mean, they have the leverage.
Here's
now.
The question, though. How bad do you think the weakness in the shoulder of Jeremy Jeffress is? Because if Jeffress... if that shoulder is coming back and they're just going to take a couple of extra days with spring training and down there to continue to develop him and he's looking really good, then your back is impressed against the wall. He's closed before. So you're not desperate. But if Jeffress has problems and you don't think Jeffress is ready to go and you don't think he's going to be able to come back after that 10-day DL and be your closer, then you're desperate. Because that now, that opens a whole different can of worms.
I just have this bad gut feeling about Jeremy Jeffress. And last year, towards the end of the year, we all knew he ran out of gas. And now that shoulder issue comes up. It just, to me, I just get a bad vibe that the Jeremy Jeffress we saw last year for the majority of the year, it's like we can't bet on the fact that this is going to be the same Jeremy that's going to come back this season, whenever he is healthy. I am worried about Jeremy Jeffress. And again, we don't know the severity of Corey Knebel and this elbow situation. But Jeremy Jeffress is someone that I just don't fully trust is going to, if he does come back healthy, is going to be the Jeffress that we knew from last year. I don't feel right about it. My gut's just telling me, Bill, that maybe this is the best we've seen out of Jeremy Jeffress last year, and that he may not come back to that.
This is the reason I always tell people, when you think you know baseball and you know, here we go, this is the way it is, this team's going to be, this is the reason it is so hard to repeat exactly what you did the year before. It's because of stuff like this. You have to have everything go right and get better to go farther. And they've done everything they could to kind of hedge their bets, but now you really, really, really have to look at this thing and go, okay, remember, you cannot say, and I understand that there's a certain amount of money in the market, but we've been told all along that money will not be the object. If they need to go out and push their chips into the middle of the table to get somebody, that they will do it. And money, we've been told that. They've said it on this show. So now you can't turn around and go, well, we've got the budget stretched thin. We've been told all along it's not going to be money. So to me, I know Kimbrel would not be cheap, but I think if indeed you're getting bad news about Jeffress, you have an uneasy feeling about Jeffress, and now Knebel going to get his elbow examined, you got to go get him. You can't make these moves and try, because you didn't make moves to make your starting rotation better. Because everybody kept saying how deep you were. And okay, we'll see that depth. But now your bullpen, the strength of your team, the backbone of this team, you got to go get a guy. You got to go get him. 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, feel free to do it. 855-830-8648. Don't forget, coming up tonight, we're going to be on the road. It's the Milwaukee Basketball Hour. We're going to be down at Major Goolsby's, 6 to 7 tonight. Also, Eric Bledsoe is going to be live and in person right in front of you. Come on down. Hang out with us coming up tonight. That is going to be the Milwaukee Basketball Hour, 6 to 7 tonight on many of these same stations. More of the Bill Michaels Show is next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. In the world of sports, a lot of people say a lot of things. But does it pass the big unit test? Let's play Buy or Sell. Brought to you by Bryant and Stratton College Athletics, offering athletic scholarships in 15 junior college sports. Learn more at bscbobcats.com. This is the Bill Michaels Show.
Welcome back to the program. Glad you were on board today, as always. Got some buy or sell coming up. And we'll get back into our breaking news of the day, and that is that the Brewers have sent Corey Knebel to see the doc, Dr. William Rush, and quote, out of Craig Council, there's reason for concern regarding his elbow. Not good news. Not good news. Let's get to it. Time for Buy or Sell Radio. Joe, what do you got?
Well, we'll just stick with this breaking news, because I had this in Buy or Sell, because I saw the report yesterday about Corey Knebel. He had not pitched in a few days, and there was no explanation as to what was ailing him. So I'm going to change it around just a little bit. Let's say the Brewers do get Craig Kimbrell. Buy or Sell, the bullpen is back to elite status, even though Knebel and Jeffers are not on that opening day roster.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to sell on that. I mean, you get Jeffers back, yes. And Jeffers is throwing a bullpen today. And if he comes away fine and is starting to hit the gun at about 94, 95, 96 the way he has in the past, then you're feeling really good about the situation. He'll be back maybe the second, third week of April. But if he comes back and he's only throwing 89, then no. I mean, it's progress, but it's not the progress you were hoping for after a couple of weeks of being kind of shut down. So, right now, no. It's not back to the elite status that it was. So I'm going to sell on that. If they get Kimbrel, they need him. Look, the best news you could possibly get is there's inflammation in Corey Knebel's elbow, and they're going to shut him down for a while, and that Jeremy Jeffers throws a bullpen today, and he's hitting 94, 95, 96. That's the best news you could possibly get. And then Kimbrel becomes more icing on the cake, and it just strengthens what is already still one of the most dominant bullpens in baseball. But if Jeffers throws 84, 85, 86, and Corey Knebel finds out that he needs Tommy John surgery, then no. They're a good but not great strength of your team. Because coming into this season, if you had Jeffers, you had Knebel, you had Josh Hader, it was still that was your backbone when it came to your pitching staff. Now you're relying upon your starters a little bit more, in my opinion. Maybe a lot more. And no, it's not the dominant thing that it once was. So I'm going to sell on that right now.
Buy or sell.
All right. Craig Kimbrel in a Brewers uniform by opening day.
Yes. Buying it.
All right. So you think they get him?
I think they get him in the next 48 hours. At any cost. You have to. You put your chips in the middle of the table for this season. You bring in Yasmani Grandal. You bring in Moustakas. You try to put the band back together. You're hoping for pitching. You didn't get starting pitching, which everybody thought you needed. You didn't do that. You said, no, we're deep enough. Don't worry about it. With our bullpen, we're good to go. Now your bullpen, the strength of your team, is banged up, and you haven't even thrown pitch one in a regular season yet. You got to get them. There is no, you can't at this. Look, if I'm a fan, maybe I'm wrong, but if the pulse of the fans is you got to get Kimbrel, and the Brewers say, well, our budget's stretched pretty thin, are you as fans going to be really upset? I mean, because we heard all along over the last couple of years that would not be the issue. Now, don't get me wrong, they're not going to be a $300 million payroll. I get that. But are you going to be upset if the Brewers don't kind of throw out some more money and maybe go 15, 16 million on this?
You know what, though? I'm going to say this in the Brewers' defense. They have spent more money than what I thought they would this season. I mean, what did Stearns say when he was on with you last week? $150 million they're at right now for this season, their payroll? I mean, that's pretty high. And again, when the Grandal signing came down, that shocked me a little bit. I mean, they are emptying out the wallet to get some of these guys.
Right.
So, I mean, if they can't get Kimbrel, yeah, I'm going to be a little disappointed, but at the same time, they've already spent a lot of money.
I agree. But look, you've spent money to make yourself better, and now you've taken three steps back. So you got to get back to where you were, at least, and you're going to have to spend money to do it. You may have to bite the bullet for a year, you know, and see what happens.
Well, there are certain guys in this bullpen that are not named Hader, Jeffress, Knebel, that they have important years. I mean, Jacob Barnes has been up and down the last couple of years out of the pen for the Brewers.
Barnes, Guerra, Albers.
Taylor Williams is another guy. Taylor Williams, to me, has potential to be a back end of the bullpen guy. But again, consistency has also killed him. He's had spurts last season where he was really, really good. And then he had other spots coming out of the All-Star break where he was terrible. I mean, that's a guy that's going to have to step up this season, even if they can't get Craig Kimbrel on their team.
Buy or sell.
All right, moving along, sticking with the Brewers. Jimmy Nelson will pitch more innings this season than Chase Anderson.
That's a great question.
I have another thought.
I'm going to buy that. Look, Jimmy Nelson right now, for all intents and purposes, for everything you hear coming out of camp, he's been throwing the ball really, really well. So I'm going to say yes, I buy that. I believe Jimmy Nelson's probably going to come back. They'll limit his outings early on, but I think he's still going to throw more innings than Chase Anderson will. Chase Anderson hasn't shown me anything in the last year and a month that's going to make me believe he's going to have a bust-out year. Now, he certainly could, but if I had to sit here right here today and bet my house on it, I'd probably bet against him.
You know, I also wonder, with Jimmy Nelson, obviously they have him all stretched out to be a starting pitcher, and that's where he'll be to start the season in AAA. But, you know, I wonder if there's a scenario, if the velocity is up, his stuff looks good, I wonder if they would actually maybe move him to the bullpen if this crisis continues with the back end of the bullpen.
They could. You're absolutely right. They could. 855-830-8648. You can chime in on all of this coming up after the buy or sell segment. Continue on.
Buy or sell.
Mike Moustakas will hit more home runs this season than Jesus Aguilar.
I'm buying that too. Aguilar's had a really good spring, but I watched last year just going off of history. I think that Moustakas at Miller Park, getting a full season in the Central, I think he's got the ability to put up power numbers of 30, 35 home runs. Aguilar, I'd love to see Aguilar hit more. I just want consistency. That's the big thing. I just want consistency. That's it.
Buy or sell.
Okay. Last one for you. Over to the Bucks. They are very, very close to becoming the Central Division champions. But buy or sell, being Central Division champions is absolutely irrelevant.
No, that doesn't mean a damn thing. I don't care about... Look, we don't care about being the Central Division champions. None of that. This is about getting the first seed. This is about getting home court advantage. This is about getting to the Eastern Conference Finals for the Milwaukee Bucks. Who cares if they raise a banner that says Central Division Champions? I mean, that's great. I mean, I'm sure that they feel something down in that locker room that says, okay, we won the Central, but beyond that, okay. I mean, this is about winning the first round. This is about getting out of the first round and moving on. This is about taking a season in which you've had the best record in the NBA and putting yourself head and shoulders above everybody else to have home court advantage throughout the entire postseason and to earn that and get yourself into the Eastern Conference Finals and hopefully the NBA Finals. So You know, no. It's a nice little banner to hang in your ceiling, but beyond that, I don't think any Bucks fan really cares about winning the Central.
All right, that's it.
That's it. That's it. That is buy or sell. And we're going to start taking your phone calls. And some people really just stupid on Twitter. Just stupid. We'll get into that discussion, too. Hang in there. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
I see your dirty face high behind your collar. What is done in vain? Truth is hard to swallow, so you pray to God to justify the way you live a lie, live a lie, live a lie.
Welcome back to the program. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Wisconsin Biofuels Association. Go to WIBiofuels.org. That's WIBiofuels.org. Ethanol, cleaner, greener. Removes the carbon, the equivalent of 20 million cars from the road. And producing ethanol, by the way, it becomes cleaner. Natural gas, electricity used at ethanol plants, they reduce almost 40% of the emissions. Since 1995, carbon monoxide, which can cause harmful health effects by reducing oxygen delivered to the body and to the organs, doesn't get created via the ethanol. It's a cleaner fuel, man. A bushel of corn produces less than 3 gallons of ethanol and about 17 pounds of dried distiller grains, which is used for animal feed. So when you're talking about supporting Wisconsin farmers and the corn growers, that stuff is used in many different things, ethanol, corn feed, all that kind of stuff. The same bushel produces corn distillers, corn oil. And corn ethanol production creates fuel and food, adding many, many jobs and many more reasons why you should support Wisconsinites, Wisconsin farmers, Wisconsin ethanol plants right here in our fantastic state. And if you don't believe me, go check the facts out. WIBiofuels.org. That's WIBiofuels.org. Just learning today, in case you're just tuning in, that the Brewers have announced their rotation, which has become somewhat minimal to the news that Corey Knebel dealing now with an elbow injury of some type, and he is now going to go see Dr. William Rosch, who is down there in Phoenix. So now you talk about the path to Craig Kimbrell and all of the rumors. Now you know why the Brewers have been so hot and heavy after the reliever. It's not because they wanted to supplement additional starting pitching. It's because they're having some problems with Corey Knebel, and going back as a couple of days ago, Knebel wasn't throwing, and we were kind of wondering why. Well, now you know why. By the way, so somebody tweeted out and said, stop talking about the Brewers, it's March. And I kind of said, are you kidding me? You know, after what they did last year and what people are going through. And, boy, when you start to talk about the possibility of losing the strength, that team, for as good as they can be offensively speaking, okay, the strength of that team last season was pitching, and specifically the bullpen. Now, they got solid outings out of Chacín after the first couple of weeks of the season. He was the rock in that rotation. And they got some good outings. But let's be honest. It was the bullpen that sustained this team for a long period of time. When they were holding teams to less than 4 runs per game, they were winning games. And, yes, they were scoring runs, but they were winning games. And now all of a sudden, 2/3 of the back end of that bullpen is ailing. And it looks like Corey Knebel, if indeed this is the worst year or the worst news, then he's lost his year. Now you've got Jimmy Nelson trying to come back. Jeremy Jeffress throwing a bullpen today who's had shoulder weakness, I guess, for lack of a better term. And now Corey Knebel with the elbow injury. Man, that's tough for guys that you're counting on to be kind of the backbone of your pitching. So that's what the Brewers are dealing with right now. 855-830-8648. My question is this, and quite a few people have chimed in. Winman says that I believe the Brewers have spent more money on their payroll this year than they have in the history of their team. I can't criticize them too much, but that still doesn't put them in the same ranks with places like Philadelphia, LA, or even Boston. So signing Kimbrell will not break the bank. It will strictly stretch their budget. What is their budget? I don't know specifically what their budget is. I don't know what their budget is. But all I know is that you and I, we have talked about this. We have specifically asked Craig Counsell, David Stearns, Rick Schlesinger. We've said, look, if you're one player away, is budget going to be the reason you don't go after this guy? And they've all said basically no. And now you're in need. You know, it's no longer where, if Jeffries comes back, if Jeremy Jeffries comes back and he's been a closer before, okay, you're all right. Things aren't terrible. You know, and Corey Knebel, look, he had a little bit of injury last year, so he had to come back, and him and Jeffress at times kind of shared that closing role. Hell, a Hader even shared that closing role at times. So I get it. But if Jeffress is down and Knebel is down, you cannot, Josh Hader can't go out and pitch every inning of every game. He can't. You can't burn him up. You need a closer. Kimbrell would be that guy. We'll talk about it. More of the Bill Michael Show right after this.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.